The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng
and Eugenia Asumedu Sechi.
In the headlines, GES directs temporary closure of senior high school infested with bed bugs for fumigation. President Mahama to address news conference at Flagstaff House this morning. NPP expresses concern over resettlement of Guantanamo Bay detainees in Ghana, but detainees pledge to live peacefully. Five-story church building collapses at Awushi. First Ghanaian television newscaster and former Deputy Director General of GBC, David Gatte Tego, passes on. And the U.S. court rejects appeal by imprisoned former Speaker of Parliament to run in election. The news in detail. The Director General of the Ghana Education Service, GES, Jacob Kaur, has described the recent invasion of black sucking bedbugs in the country's senior high schools as a serious health issue and directed all regional directors to seek permission to close down schools for fumigation. He explained that schools in session that are confronted with the problem will be given permission to allow the students to go home to make way for the fumigation to halt the spread of the bedbugs.
Meanwhile, alumni of Ghana Secondary Technical School, GSTS, in Takoradi, having a rapid response to the bedbug infestation in the school, fumigated the entire campus totally, exterminating the insects. The fumigation exercise, estimated at the cost of 66,000 cedis, was mainly borne by the old students, with the school contributing 9,000 cedis. The authorities have also put in place contingency measures to prevent students from carrying bedbugs from home to the school. A member of the working committee of the GSTS alumni, Ibo Simpson, said the association has been working on a master plan for the school following a structural integrity assessment of the facilities and structures in the school by a team of professionals.
Now the bedbug issue is so bad, and we cannot allow parents to bring their ward to school and then they come and sleep in this situation. So quickly, we had a meeting with the administration. We costed it. Initially, it was around 20,000 Ghana cedis. And then the school said, okay, they have 9,000 they can use now. So they gave us the 9,000. And then we, the old boys, put our hands in our pockets to look for money. The total cost of the fumigation came to 66,000 Ghana cedis. We put all the beds together, we covered it with polythene bars, and then they used the gas to kill the bugs. And then the crack openings that think that their bugs should be in, they fumigated all those areas as a measure to make sure that the students don't bring bugs from home. We quarantine everything that the students are coming. That's why we are here today. So we are ensuring that no bugs comes from outside the gate into the school.
You heard Ibo Simpson, a member of the working committee of the GSTS alumni.
President Mahama will today hold a news conference at the Flagstaff House at 11 a.m. A statement from the Flagstaff House said media houses that have applied to attend the news conference should pick the accreditation from the head office of the Information Services Department. It said the media must take along their staff identity or press cards. All accredited journalists are to be seated before 10:30 a.m. Ghana Television and Radio Ghana will provide live feed for interested television and radio stations.
The two Guantanamo Bay detainees who have arrived in Ghana have expressed gratitude to President Mahama for granting them residence. In an exclusive interview with Radio Ghana, the two, Mahmoud and Khalid, said they do not have links with any terrorist group and pledge to live peacefully and quietly in the country. Pascalina Dadivo reports.
Guantanamo Bay Detention Camp is a military prison facility in Cuba, established in 2002 on a land still occupied by the U.S. Mahmoud and Khalid are two of the 17 detainees released from the prison and are from Yemen. For 14 years, Mahmoud and Khalid had been at the prison without any charge. The two were cheerful throughout the interview. According to them, they are not bitter about the treatment at the Gitmo, neither will they seek revenge. They promised their 2 year stay in Ghana will be peaceful.
We had been wrongly arrested for 14 years without any charge against us. We have suffered, but we're not looking for revenge. We want to live in Ghana quiet and peacefully. and we want to put our life together. We are very happy for the warm reception that Ghana is known for.
Asked if they had any knowledge about Ghana even before coming in, Mahmoud had some fond memories to share.
I like Ghana's people, and they are very, very good people, and they are very polite, and we was very, very exciting to come to here because we know some of things about Ghana. First of all, it's a Tamajian. We know them. We like them very much. Not just us, most of people, they like him. Even other detainees, they like Ghanaians. And as I told someone here at 2010 and the World Cup, most of people there, or I can say all of us, we were with Ghana. And when the Ghana, it's a miracle, like when we are very happy, we was the celebration, we make some celebration. Also, we talk to the other, the guard or the interrogator people. We told them, look at that, we win.
Mahmoud reiterated their commitment not to engage in any crime that would destabilize the security of the otherwise peaceful country. Eyebrows have been raised by many Ghanaians over the safety of the country with the two domiciled here.
In the name of Allah, we want to thank the president and the good people.
Must be reviewed to deal with the growing
misunderstandings. We not belong to any part of them. We are here. We want to live very normal life. Allah bless you, President and people of Ghana.
There are photos of the two detainees on social media. One of the photos with a man sporting a long hair is Mahmoud, taken 11 years ago. Mahmoud currently wears a short hair. The second photo has a man with a white beard that, however, is not Khalid, the other detainee. Mahmoud and Khalid, though happy in Ghana, would have wished to return to their home country, Yemen, but that country is currently in crisis. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu, Accra.
Meanwhile, the NPP has expressed worry over the resettlement of the two former Guantanamo Bay detainees in the country, Mahmoud Umar Mohamed Binatef and Khalid Mohamed Salih Al-Dubi. A statement signed by the Acting General Secretary of the party, John Boadu, said the decision was made without consultation with the parliament, political parties and other stakeholders. He said the conduct of the government raises a number of questions and is seeking answers to 8 pertinent issues, key among them the foreign policy considerations that went into the decision to resettle the detainees and why parliament was not consulted, especially since the issue touches on terrorism and national security. The statement said it is not in the interest of good governance that government should agree to such a critical national issue on the blind side of Ghanaians.
President John Dramani Mahama has decided to reward the taxi driver who followed the armed robbery attack on a Kwala employee at cantonment with a house. Vice President Kwesi Emisa Arthur, who made the announcement when he hosted the taxi driver Nanayao at the Flagstaff House, he said he commended the driver for his patriotism and heroic act.
Some residents of Awoshi in Accra are living in a state of fear following the collapse of part of a 5-story church building belonging to the Fruit of Christ International Church last Saturday. No casualty was recorded, as the children whose bed the slats fell on were watching television in the hall at the time of the incident. The affected family has since relocated from the house, but the occupants of the opposite rooms are still living in their rooms in a state of fear. The residents claim the founder of the church, Prophet Manfred Champong, used 6 months to put up the 5-story building, and that construction of the building was done throughout the night, a development they believe may have contributed to the collapse of the building.
Water, we all agree, is life. Indeed, half of the globe is said to be water, and a third of the human body is believed to be filled with water at the base. 2 decades ago, some parts of the country, indeed in Accra, particularly Adenta, Ashalibutri, Madina and surrounding towns and villages, lacked regular supply of potable water. Last year, government completed the expanded Pong water system and Dodoa Reservoir, providing potable water regularly to these communities. But emerging challenges to what residents described As a great relief when President Mahama inaugurated the project, water is wasted often through leakages due to old broken pipes and overflow of tanks due to lack of stop valves to control the inflow of water when the tanks are full. Our correspondent George Ankra, who is a resident, finds out who is in charge and how these problems could be solved to ensure value for money.
That is the sound of the waste and the worrying situation at the Adentan each time the reservoir is open to supply potable water to the formerly water-starving people of the Snake Flats and the community. In fact, this is the second time I am expressing concern about the disturbing situation. Last year, when I aired a similar concern, staff of the Ghana Water Company followed up with their van to advise residents to fix stop valves on their tanks to prevent the waste, but this has not been done. From 11 p.m. last night to this morning, I could not sleep because of how precious water was wasting into the drains, with some residents showing no concern. We are the very people who are threatening to go to court if the Ghana Water Company dares impose bills on us, because during the past 2 decades, we were buying our own water from vendors. How are the staff of the Ghana Water Company reading the meters, which were not working? I do not intend to go into other areas of concern, but suffice me to let the Tripartite Committee and the PURC know that it is important they take on board some of these concerns when they meet tomorrow to deliberate on the increase or reduction of utility bills.
That was a special report by our correspondent George Ankra.
The timely intervention by personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service at Edrisu in the Edrisu Jabi municipality of Ashanti saved the fuel station at Echa Krom on the Kumasi-Accra highway from burning. The fire, believed to have been started by a farmer behind the filling station, caught the attention of the fuel attendants, who quickly called the fire service, which responded swiftly to bring it under control. It took the personnel a little over an hour to quench the fire, which destroyed some farms and kiosks sited on the roadside. Property destroyed is estimated at thousands of Ghana cities. Meanwhile, victims of last Saturday's fire disaster at Dagomba Line, a suburb of Kumasi, have appealed to government and NADMO to assist them either in cash or kind to put up the structures. A visit to the site by our correspondent saw some of the victims trying to rebuild the burnt structures, while others were still counting their loss.
The Interior Minister, Mark Oyongo, has expressed concern about the growing number of fuel stations sited close to the country's entry points. He observed that for varied reasons, individuals and businesses have developed the penchant for setting up fuel stations along the borders. The practice, he bemoaned, has resulted in the smuggling of fuel into neighboring countries. Mr. Oyongo noted that regardless of the repercussions, most of these stations are currently operating without prospective license and authorization from the NPA and EPA. Mr. Oyongo, who shared the sentiments in an interview with Radio Ghana in Bolgatanga, said his ministry has equally notified the NPA about the situation and has appealed to them to be economical with the issuance of operating license. He spoke to Isaac Asari.
I'm concerned that there is this large amount of fuel being smuggled out of the country. That's why we have to ask men, especially at the exit and entry points, to step up their game and ensure that we curb the incidence of smuggling. I've also been appealing to MPA about, the number of fueling stations in the region, not only in this region, but other regions which are on the border areas, because it's a recipe for smuggling. Established fuel station very close to the border. I mean, obviously, the intention is that you want to smuggle, especially when there become too many, especially between Avongo and Paga, there are about 35 filling stations.
Mr. Oyongo said, already the country is battling with the issue of fuel, therefore allowing people to operate illegally will have a corresponding effect on the economy, especially when government is no more subsidizing fuel as it used to. He was quick to add that his ministry is taking steps to bring sanity in the establishment of fuel outlets. According to Mr. Wuyungu, fuel smuggling has become a worrying phenomenon, particularly in the Upper East region, where there are countless number of items sighted along the Navrongo Paga stretch of road, as well as Boko and Kulungungu.
There is every reason for us to be concerned about it. I think that because we have removed the subsidy on fuel, we definitely are not as concerned about the fuel smuggling as it was when we were subsidizing. But even then, I still believe that since we are using not cities but high-end foreign estates to bring in the fuel, there should be some amount of concern when these products are being smuggled out of our country.
Interior Minister Mark Wuyungu.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. GES directs temporary closure of senior high schools infested with bedbugs for fumigation. President Mahamat addressed news conference at Flagstaff House this morning. NPP expresses concern over resettlement of Guantanamo Bay detainees in Ghana. The detainees pledge to live peacefully. Five-story church building collapses at Awoshi. First Ghanaian television newscast and former Deputy Director General of GBC David Gatetego passes on, and Niger's court rejects appeal by imprisoned former Speaker of Parliament to run in election. We are back after the break.
You're welcome back. The Pedriasi Ayinensa portion of the Ebui Accra Road has been closed to traffic. This is to pave the way for work to begin on portions of the hillside that have cliffs hanging dangerously. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Alhaji Inus Afusheni, and his team of engineers visited the site ahead of the construction works, which will take 7 months to complete. Correspondent Nuto Bibini Nuto was at the scene.
The mountains, for want of a better expression, it's more of a sedimentary one. And what I mean by sedimentary is that you find layers of the rocks that form the mountains. It's want a vivid picture. It looks like books piled on books. So it is in that.
Yeah, I'm content. The Bunahafu region.